Today, the Lord will be speaking to us. The Lord will be speaking clearly to us on laboring to enter into his rest. And as we look at the scripture, laboring to enter into his rest, I am quickly called to remembrance at this point about the labor and the labors of our fathers. If you look with me to the scripture in Exodus chapter 1, you will discover and find out that our fathers labored. The Bible told us in Genesis that when there was famine all over the land, the scripture told us that everybody gathered in Egypt because there was no food anywhere upon the face of the earth. Only in Egypt, because God preserved a man. God gave wisdom to Joseph, and Joseph, by the wisdom of the Lord, built pyramids that sustained and stored food to help the world from running into extinction. And when Joseph did this, the Bible made us to know, because of the favor he had before Pharaoh, the parents, the family, the father and the siblings were invited over, and they were given a choice land in Egypt. The scripture told us that over time, in Exodus chapter 1, the Bible said Joseph died. Joseph didn't only die. The Bible said his brothers died. Reuben, all of them, they died over the space of time and the passage of time. The scripture said they died. And after they died, the Bible said there arose a king who did not know Joseph. Neither did he know the works of Joseph. And the Bible said as the time continued to pass, scripture told us clearly that the people began to increase. The Israelites began to increase in strength and in vigor. They began to increase and they were making impact and inroads in whatsoever they laid their hands upon to do. The scripture said that as they continued to increase, it brought fear and it brought terror to the people of the Egyptians. And the scripture said, Pharaoh said, we need to destroy the Israelites so that they will not be so much and so great upon our land and overrun us. Or when a nation will rise against us, they will collude with the nations to rise against us. They will connive with the nations to rise against us. Let's stop them. What were the agents of their destruction towards the Israelites? The Bible said they began to increase their labor. The Bible said they began to give them serious work. The Bible said they placed tax masters over them. They increased their labor. They made them to start increasing what they were supposed to produce by time and per space. They reduced their food. They began to give them things to reduce them. But instead of reducing them, instead of destroying them, instead of bringing them down, it rather made them more prosperous. I pray for someone here this afternoon that all the challenges of life will be a platform for your rising in Jesus' name. Regardless of the orchestrated and concluded plans of the people at your places of work or wherever you find yourself, God will use such platforms to bring about your increase and your blessings in the name of Jesus. And the Bible did say that as they continue to plan against the Israelites, the scripture said that the Israelites were increasing in number and they were increasing in strength. The Bible said from verse 11 of Exodus chapter 1, from verse 11, the Bible said, therefore, they set tax masters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. That shall be your portion in Jesus' name. That areas of your affliction shall be platforms for your rising in the name of Jesus. And the scripture said, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. People shall be in dread of you in the name of Jesus. Those who are thinking they want to bring you down, they shall be in dread of you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, so the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. They subjected them to pain, subjected them to trouble, to the extent that the king made a verdict that any Hebrew child that is born, that is a male, should be killed. But to the glory of God, the Bible said that the Hebrew children, the Hebrew women, found favor in the sight of the Egyptian midwives, to the extent that when they enter into labor, at the point of their labor, they will make sure they seclude them, make sure they finish giving birth, and they will make them escape. When the king discovered that, we say you should be killing them, but we are still seeing little boys grow, how come they didn't die? He said, no, these ones, they are very strong. They are not like the Egyptian ladies. These ones, before we catch them, they have given birth. Now, you know, that is what we have now turned to prayer, that you shall deliver like the Hebrew women. But that's not what the Bible was saying, because it's not as though the Hebrew women were delivering before the doctors would arrive. No, it was because they found favor. So the people arranged that they should deliver and they will not be caught. But we have changed the concept and the intent of that scripture. Well, it will continue to work for us as a church in Jesus' name. But the originality of the scripture calls our attention to the fact that it was because they found favor. So the people allowed them to give birth and escape. And the Bible said they continued to increase. But the more they increased, the more their problem increased. The more they grew, the more their challenges grew. The more they expanded, the more their troubles expanded. And the Bible said the Lord saw the challenge of the people. And in Exodus chapter 2, God began the redemptive plan of the Israelites by the births of Moses. And Moses was given birth to in Exodus chapter 2. In Exodus chapter 3, God told Moses, I have seen the tears of my people. Exodus chapter 3, and I read from verses 7 to 8. The Bible says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. The Lord shall hear your cry in the name of Jesus. You know, when a child is crying and no one is there to help him, the child will cry till the voice will go, and the child will be frustrated. You will not be frustrated in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. This is the foundation of the message of today. Laboring to enter your rest. God saw the labors of the people. God saw the challenge of the people. God saw how much they were laboring. God said, I am going to bring you from that labor to your place of rest. And the Bible is speaking to us this morning. The Lord is speaking to us this morning on laboring to enter your rest. You know, when God did this, God told Moses from Exodus chapter 4 to verse 12, thereabouts, the Lord began to visit the land of the Egyptians with different signs, different plagues, and different troubles, so that they will let the people go. And in Exodus chapter 13, the Israelites went on their journey. They left the land of Egypt, and the Lord gave them victory over the Egyptians. I am praying for you. The Lord will give you your victory over your Egyptians in the name of Jesus. Every Egyptian army that will not allow you to enjoy the fruit of your labor, the Lord will give you rest from every of such labors in the name of Jesus. But the challenge came in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Can we turn our scriptures to Deuteronomy chapter 12? After the people began to enjoy their liberty, after they began to enjoy the freedom that God had given to them, they began to run into errors. What were the errors they began to run into? From verse 8, Deuteronomy chapter 12, from verse 8, the Bible says, you shall not at all do as we are doing here today. Every man doing whatsoever is right in his own eyes. People of God, one of the biggest challenges we have in the church today is that when a man is already on a platform for victory, we begin to do anything as we like. It is only in the church that anything goes. It is only in the church that people say, Shebi na church. It's only in the church people say, why not? We can do it anyhow. You know, because God is very slow to anger. So God is always patient with us to come to repentance. And the Bible said the Lord told them, through the man of God, he said, you shall not at all do as you are doing here today. Every man doing whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For as you yet know, we have not come to the rest and inheritance. People of God, why are we behaving as if we have come to our rest? We have not yet arrived at our destination. We have not yet arrived at where we are going to. And we are already behaving as if we have gotten there. The Israelites, what were the things they began to do? They began to murmur. They began to grumble. They began to pay attention to idolatry. They began to be disobedient. They began to show high level of unbelief. They began to doubt God. They began to contend with God. They began to ask, where is the God among the people? These were the things they began to do. In Exodus 16, verse 3, they were very clear about what they began to do. In Exodus 16, verse 3, the Bible told us, and the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. These were people who were in a strange land. These were people who were suffering under the oppressive hand of the Egyptians. These were people that God saved. These were people who were crying, that which kind of oppressive hand is this? These were people who were weeping morning, afternoon, night. These were people who could not sleep in the night. They sleep with one eye closed, the other eye open, because they are not sure when their taskmasters will come and invade the camp. These were people who had no life of their own. These were people who were not happy sojourning in Egypt. These were people who they were not giving proper food. What were they giving them? Onions and garlic. These were people who were not seeing proper food to eat. But when they got to the land, when they were on their transit to the promised land, they began to say, we made us to forget our pot of meat. Where was the pot of meat? These were people who forgot so soon where God was taking them from. Are you like that in the house? Am I like that in the house? That when God begins to work out his work of salvation in our life, we suddenly forget where we are coming from. So soon as a people, we always forget where we are coming from. Every time God begins to do a new work in our life, we suddenly forget that this was not me 10 years ago. This was not me 2 years ago. A songwriter said, this same me, saved from sin. I was a sinner, saved by grace. How can we forget so soon where we are coming from? These were people who God saved. But when they were beginning to see the deliverance of the Lord, they began to pay attention to things they shouldn't pay attention to. In Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7, they took their complaint to another level. In Exodus chapter 17, from verse 1, the Bible said, then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandments of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. The first one was what? No what? No what? No meat. No food. This one, no water. And in verse 2, therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And in verse 3, and the people tested there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, our children, and our livestock with thirst? And in verse 4, so Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. And in verse 5, the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also, take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. And in verse 6, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And verse 7, finally, so he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? This was at the point at which our brother Moses was still intact. At this point, Moses remembered in Exodus chapter 2, Moses was giving battle. Exodus chapter 3, God gave him the mandate to bring about the deliverance of the people and give them rest as they are going to their promised land. At this point, Moses was still making intercession for the people so that the people will indeed get to their promised land. And they were asking the Lord for water. And Moses said, no problem. He asked the Lord, he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told him, strike the rock. And he struck the rock, and water came forth. In Numbers chapter 20, another problem came out again. Now, these are challenges that can happen to the life of a man. When a man is on the pathway, when a man is laboring to his rest, many challenges come. But oftentimes, we seem to fail. that we are on a journey to heaven. We are not on a journey to achieve what man is saying that we should achieve, but we're on a journey to heaven. In Numbers chapter 20, from verse 3 to 13, the Bible gave us a vivid picture of how our brother fell. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Are you seeing something very glaring there? Every time they want to get at Moses or get to Moses, they will always threaten him with death. If they want to die, is it not easy to die? They should just look for one river and or one sea, just plunge themselves into it and die and leave this man of God. They keep threatening him with death. And again, they threatened our brother again with death. He said, why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness? You see what they are saying? Why have you brought they didn't say, why have you brought we Israelites here? He said, see how they are now robbing him so that he will feel bad that he's bringing the assembly of the Lord. See that statement? Have you brought the assembly of the Lord to a place where there's no anointing? Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord to a place where there's no food? Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord to a place where there's no proper praise worship? You brought us to a wilderness. No food, no water, no nothing to enjoy ourselves. That we and our animals should die here. Verse 5. And you, why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Was that the place they are going to? I'd like to ask you, was that the place you are going to? Every one of us who has risen to where we are now, you didn't start like this from birth. From birth, you grew. You went to primary school, you wrote certain examinations. After certain examinations, you passed primary school, you got to secondary school, you got to university, you were writing examinations. This was part of their examination. Jesus, God never told them, he was taking them there. He told them, I'm taking you to a land I have promised you. A land that is flowing with milk and honey. See what they said. How have you brought us to this evil place? This is not where God brought them to. But they were making Moses feel as if he was committing a sin. It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. And in verse 6, so Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacles of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And in verse 7, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock. What did the Lord say you should do? The other verse we read, what did the Lord say you should do? Strike. Lord said, now, don't strike. Because if you keep striking, you may kill these people. Because one day you will also strike their head. Now, take the rod. You and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus, you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. Verse 9. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels. God did not address them as rebels. At this point, you know that Moses was already angry. Moses was already getting frustrated. I pray for you, you will not get frustrated to a point that where God is about to bless you. You will now, out of frustration of what others are doing, you will now block your way in the name of Jesus. He said, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Did Moses have any say in the bringing of water from the rock? At that point, our brother Moses began to miss it. But remember, it was Moses that had the mandate to bring the people out of the land of bondage to the promised land. Must we? Brother, you have no part in this thing. What we are talking about, your blessing, your jubilee, your entering your rest, you don't have a part. The Bible said, this same Moses said, stand still and see the deliverance the Lord will work in your midst. This same Moses forgot that it is not about him, it is about God. He said that Moses lifted up his hand and struck twice with his rod. Was that what he was told to do? Was he told to strike? He was told to speak. But in doing, he struck. And in striking, he struck twice and with his rod. And water came out how much? Now, you see, each time I look at this scripture, I said, rock, water was not supposed to come out abundantly. Because did he obey the Lord? No, I need you to answer me. Did he obey the Lord? So how come? Now, what the Lord told him to do, what was the result that was to come out? What was the result? Water. Now, did he obey the Lord? Did he get the result? I need you to answer me. What they are looking for? What was the result they are looking for? Water. I agree with you. Now, the instruction God gave Moses to do, did he obey the instruction? Okay, did they get the results? So are you seeing that sometimes when you are getting the results, even in your journey in life, it is not an indication that you are in the right place with God? So many people may be doing right. They may be making it in life. People will look at them and say, oh, pastor, deacon, sister, brother, bro, sis, bro. They might call you anything they want to call you, but you know the Bible says you should build according to how you were shown on the mount. There is a pattern for anything. Wuru cannot last for long. Any pattern that is not subjected to the word of God will only last for a while, but it will fail. The Bible said that the water came out. Not just did it come out, the Bible said it came out abundantly. And I'm sure Moses will be saying, yes, we have done it. Let's hear. And the congregation and their animals drank. They drank. God called Moses. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. People of God, this was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and it was hallowed among them. This was the end of the ministry of Brother Moses, the deliverer that was supposed to take them to their point of rest, missed it. People of God, how many of you have been on a journey? You have been on a journey. God is sending you somewhere, but you didn't end it because of certain spiritual roadblocks and hindrances and stumbling blocks that you were not able to overcome. And you say God understands. God does not understand anything. There is a pattern for spiritual living. Our brother Moses was disqualified. And God told him, go and bring Joshua. Bring him up, for Joshua shall finish what you didn't start. And it's on that point I want to bring you to the body of this message, that we close this message. In the scripture we read, in Hebrews chapter 4, very clearly, the Bible called attention in verse 5. The Bible said, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another rest. I know that the scripture told us clearly in Joshua chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, that Joshua led the people and they crossed completely the Jordan. They entered, but it did not last because the people died. Because the people murmured. The people did not get into their rest because they were unable to get the rest that Jesus promised. And that was why the Bible called attention to say in verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible said, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. All that Joshua tried to do, he did not succeed. All that Joshua tried to do, he did not succeed. Even when he did not fall per se, like Brother Moses fell, but he still did not succeed. People of God, every effort any man can do for you will never get you to heaven. No matter the connection a man has in life, it won't get you to heaven. No matter the name you bear, it won't bring you to a point of rest. It is only if a man looks carefully at what the Bible said in verse 11. In verse 11 of that Hebrew chapter 4, the Bible said it clearly. He said, Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. People of God, the diligence we are talking about is not the diligence that will make us murmur like our fathers. It's not the diligence that when men say things you don't agree with, you begin to murmur. It's not the diligence that if just for a few days you can't find the leader, you begin to pay attention to idolatry. Such were the days of our fathers. Such were the things our fathers did. Even when they labored, the Bible says you are disqualified. People of God, do you know how terrible it is after you have served God for 19 Abraham and you have been baptized for 19 Moses, and yet at the end, the Bible says, I do not know you. You know what the Bible said? The Bible is saying that, God, how can you say, I am not qualified? I want miracles in your name. He said, go away. I don't know you. You worker of iniquity. And as I look at the church of God today, not Ikoyi Baptist Church, as I look at the church universal, I see a lot of people who are working miracles. I see a lot of people who are attending church programs. I see a lot of people who are doing the same things our fathers did, but they died in the wilderness. I see a lot of people who are doing exactly the same thing our fathers did, nothing extra, but they died in the wilderness. The best of the effort of our fathers was to die in the wilderness. Can I remind you, everybody who left the land of the Egypt, every one of them perished in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb made it. They entered their rest. But the Bible says even Joshua that entered, could not give the people rest. People of God, do you think you have gotten to your rest? The Bible said the Lord called their attention. He said, how come everybody's behaving anyhow? How come? How come? The Bible said, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. People of God, as I look at that scripture, the Bible says, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And I discovered from that scripture that even Moses too fell. Ha! If any man can fall, should it be Brother Moses? A man that the Bible gave a wonderful CV. How can Brother Moses fall? But out of disobedience. The Lord says, speak to the rock. He struck it. You can't be too anointed. You can't think you know it too much. To begin to do, you can do it your own way. There is a way God has outlined for every man to do the work. People of God, we can't be complacent. God is coming very soon. Brother Esau, with all he did, he still missed it. Judas was mentioned as one of the disciples of Jesus. In short, if there was anybody Jesus thought of giving an office, Judas was the number one. Jesus gave him the office of being the treasurer. He was holding on to the money, but even after it, after all the labor, he did not enter his rest. People of God, have you labored this much only to end in the flesh, according to Ephesians? Have you started well in the spirit, only to end in the flesh? People of God, when they think of your life 10 years ago, they say, he's on fire. 15 years ago, she's on fire. 20 years ago, that sister, when you come close to her, you'll be feeling the anointing of God. The Israelite journey for 40 years. Some of them were on fire for 39 years. It was the 40th year they fell. People of God, the Bible says, be diligent. Be diligent. Lest you fall by the same disobedience of others. What is the way out? The way out is very simple. The Bible told us the way out in verse 12. In verse 12, the Bible says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Four dimensions of the word of God. As I read through this scripture last night, the Lord began to tell me there are four things the word of God does anytime it enters the heart of a man. Number one, the first thing it does is that it is living and it is active. Have you been in a place as they are speaking? You say, it seems it is me the pastor is talking to. It's not as though somebody told the pastor anything about you. But the word of God is so living and active that it addresses present day situation. The word of God is not dead. The word of God is not a novel that we say, no, this one, they need a new edition. The word of God needs no new edition. It is always living and active. The word of God pierces the conscience of a man. It sets a man at the edge and says, what is wrong with me? As I'm speaking, there may be one or two people who are saying, my God, God, how I wish you can deliver me. People of God, I beg you, don't live here. Even if we close, can you bow your heads and say, God, forgive me before you leave here? God is saying his word is living and active. We can't handle God's word anyhow. We can't place our own ideas or our own thoughts or philosophies or ideologies in the word of God. The Bible says, my word is living and it's active. And it is the tool you need if you are going to be diligent to labor to enter the rest. Number two, not only is it living and active, the word of God is also, as it were, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you know what it means to be a two-edged sword? That means it is sharp at this side and sharp at the other side. Every knife or every sword is sharp at one side and blunt at the other side, but not the word of God. The word of God is sharp at both sides. Whether you are poor or you are rich, the word of God will cut you. Whether you are tall or you are short, the word of God can cut you from every side. Whether you are high or you are low, the word of God can cut you from every side. Whether you are educated or uneducated, it can cut you on the educated side, cut you on the uneducated side. The word of God spares no man, no matter who you are, whether by gender or whatsoever. It cuts the male and the female. It is active and it is sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God can reach a man, even when he's sick or when he's not sick, even the believers and the unbelievers. The word of God is sharp and can cut through the life of a man. It is not only sharper than any two-edged sword, but it is a divider of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. People who like to analyze say you cannot separate the spirit from the soul. Permit me not to talk anything or discuss anything about the spirit and soul today. But do you know those who agree to the fact that they are related, They are together. You can't separate them. The Bible said the word of God can separate the soul and the spirit. The joints and marrow, for the doctors who are here looking at Dickin Arayanka, the joints and the marrow, if I have to call him to explain, I may not have my time. But I will say something, and I know he will agree with me by fire, by force, to the glory of God. And I know that the joints and the marrow is that soft, fatty substance in the bone cavity, inside the bone cavity. Am I correct? You know, when you cook food and you have to suck the bone, some of you, I know you like sucking. You like sucking bone. You will now suck. How many of you normally do it? You are not raising your hand now. When we visit you, we'll find you doing it. May God forgive you in Jesus' name. It's very sweet. My wife loves doing it. I do it also. Not always. But the Bible is saying that the word of God can separate the marrow and the joint. Which one is the joint? The joint is the point of intersection where a bone meets with another bone. So the Bible is saying from that point where a bone meets another bone, that is a hollow, a tiny hollow, to the place where you will meet the marrow of a bone, is a large, strong cavity called a bone. The Bible says the word of God is able to pierce through that bone. No matter how hard your heart is, if you open up your heart, the word of God is able to pierce your heart. Even if you say, I can never agree, if the word of God comes to you, it breaks you to nothing. You see men begin to cry. Crying in God's presence. It is the word of God. I am praying that our church in 2017 will get to a point where the word of God will be coming. It will be piercing our heart. Men will be crying. It is only the word of God that can do it. It's not philosophy. It's not what they taught us in seminary. Those things can't pierce the heart of men. It pierces the bone. No matter how hard the bone is. Even a Boko Haram man, the word of God can pierce the heart. No matter what he has done. He said not only that, it is a designer of all thoughts to the intents of the heart. It designs the thoughts of a man's heart. What are you thinking? You know, as we are here, as we are talking, a man may still be thinking about the container. Even while we are here talking, serious matter. The Bible said the word of God can pierce through your heart and design the thoughts of a man's heart. Let me close this message in verse 13. The Bible said, can't we close it on verse 13? And I said to the Lord, we can. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must all give account. People of God, we will all give account. Even if you are the CEO of your company, can I tell you, let people be bringing all the appraisal papers. It is your table, everything end. When you come to your rests, your own paper will be appraised. The Bible says both the secrets and the things that are made open, tall and short, rich or poor, knowledgeable or ignorant, every man shall stand before God. You know what? I wait for the day the Lord will call us home. When I will sign out from this wicked world and walk upon the celestial city, the city that is made of gold. And the Lord will say, my son, I know the secret things of your heart. I said, God, can we beam them on the screen that every man may see? If the Lord comes and says, all the secret things of all your heart, we want to beam them here. Let everybody see. Some of you walk out before they start. The Bible says those things on the last day, they shall be beamed before the Father of lights. No man shall escape. It is the word of God that will expose a man. Can I tell you, as we close the message, our fathers journeyed from Egypt to the promised land. Some of them died in the wilderness. Today, we are journeying from here to heaven. I hope you will not die before you get to heaven. I hope you will not fall before we get to heaven. I hope on the account of disobedience, you will not fail. I hope on the account of unbelief, you will not draw by the wayside. The choice is yours. I've made my choice. If the Lord comes now, the microphone drops. Everything about me ends here. Everything I ever had, if I have any, ends here. I walk upon the celestial city, and the Lord calls me home. But the Lord will not be calling me home by the things I do on the pulpit, because these are too open for me to put up a show. The Lord will say, son, I'm not interested in this one that you are showing everybody. It is your secret place I want to see. People of God, How is your secret place like? I know who you are in church, but I want to know who you are when you are alone. I want to know who you are when you are struggling for boss, and you are trying to enter. Or when you are left alone with that money, and nobody knows about that money. That is when I want to know who you are. For the Bible says those are the secret things that the Lord wants to judge. When that sister does not know what she's doing, and she feels that she has a father figure in you, and she's just running to you for help and assistance, and everybody knows that you are a very wonderful brother, those are the things God wants to judge. What did you do in your secret place? What are those things you've not told us in church? What are those things that you cannot share as testimony? What are those things when they say pray silently and you are mumbling them silently? Those are the things the Lord is saying, they shall be brought before God in judgment. Shall we bow our heads as we talk to God?